Hi there, and welcome back to the AI Developer Bootcamp. My name is James, and in this session, we're going to look at how to use Microsoft's Cognitive Services Vision APIs to understand both images and video content. As we saw in the first session, image recognition is a key part of the Litware scenario, where we were able to identify whether an image contained a car, we were able to identify whether the image contained the user that was interacting with the bot, and we were also able to distinguish sedans from sports cars from SUVs. So the first question we're going to try and resolve and identify in this particular module is how do we understand the content that our users upload? The next question is that we're going to try and understand how we were in fact able to distinguish between the different car types. And then finally, we're going to try and identify how we are able to identify our users in that demo, including how we were able to use a selfie as part of the authentication flow. There are six services in the cognitive services family that relate to vision. We're going to take the first four in order because they all provide a similar service. Computer vision, face, emotion, and custom vision all allow us to upload image content and better understand what it contains. The remaining two services are a little bit different. The video indexer service provides many of the same capabilities from those four services that we just mentioned, but over video content. And then the last one, content moderator, is a specific solution to a specific problem. That is, how do we safely allow users to upload their own content to our platforms and ensure that it is appropriate for our audiences? So let's start with computer vision. Computer vision is Microsoft's general purpose computer vision technology. It allows us to analyze images and understand its content. We can analyze it in multiple different dimensions, including the type of the image, what kind of things are present in the image, whether there are any faces in the image. We can pass a variety of different image formats, and we can even pass URLs to publicly accessible locations. It's not, however, designed for domain-specific recognition, so you can't tune this for your specific vision scenarios. So what are the capabilities of this API? First, analysis. It can categorize, it can tag, it can identify faces, and it can even generate a plain text description. For example, we saw in the Litware demo that it was able to identify and describe a dog sitting in a field. The next capability is extracting text. So it can use OCR over machine-generated text and images, but now it can also use technology to pull out handwritten notes and images. Third, it can also provide domain-specific feedback. It can recognize landmarks and over 200,000 different celebrities. It can also recognize adult content and allow that to be flagged. And then finally, it has smart thumbnail generation capabilities, where it's actually able to identify the subject of the image and then adjust the thumbnail logic around that subject. So let's go through an example so we can understand exactly what this vision API can return to us. Keep in mind, each of these capabilities need to be explicitly requested when making the API call, so you can get as little or as much data as you want. So here we have a picture of a man in a swimming pool. The first piece of data that we are going to get back is a category. The category is one of 86 different areas in Microsoft's taxonomy. The nice thing about this is that it's finite. So when we're building applications, we can code these different categories and recognize them. In this case, we get two categories as a combination. We get people underscore swimming, which is pretty accurate. We also don't see any celebrities or landmarks in this image. The next thing we can get back is a plain text description. And in this case, the service is able to describe this image fairly accurately as a man swimming in a pool of water, and it's able to estimate 90% accuracy for that description. The next thing it can return are tags, and these are a little bit like categories, but instead they are unbounded. There are over 2,000 different tags that can be applied to an image to describe its content. And in this case, the top four are water, swimming, sport, and pool, all of which get an over 95% confidence level by the API. And all of them, as we can see, are accurate. The next thing it can do is recognize faces in the image. It can provide the person's age or their visual age. It can provide their gender, and it can also provide the coordinates within the image of where the user is placed. This is the limit of the face detection capabilities within this API. We're about to talk about the face and emotion APIs, which give us a much richer understanding of the people that are present in the image. It can also identify colors, so it can identify the dominant foreground and background colors, any accent colors, or whether the image is even black or white. And it can also identify the type of the image, for example, if it's clip art or line drawn. So that's the analysis capability that's part of the computer vision API. It's a general purpose API for understanding image content. There are other services that are also available under computer vision, including the ability to extract text. The first capability is for machine generated text. It uses OCR to extract text data. It's able to auto-correct if the text is on a particular angle before it tries to identify it. So in this example, where we have a number of lines of text all on different angles, it's able to auto-correct that and then identify each of the words. And it actually provides a bounding box for each word within the image, which makes it super easy for us to do things like redaction if that's the outcome of the particular analysis, of this particular analysis. The computer vision API can also detect handwritten text in addition to machine-generated text. This is still in preview and only supports English. It's also an asynchronous operation. That is, we need to post up the content and then poll for the processed results. Like the OCR capability, it's able to auto-correct text that's on a particular angle before running it through the recognition engine. So let's take a look at an example here. We have somebody writing on a post-it note that's placed on a whiteboard. The extraction engine is able to rotate that so it's correctly oriented and then run it through a processing engine. Like the OCR example, it provides bounding boxes that highlight the lines and the individual words within the recognized text. The final capability in the computer vision API is smart thumbnail generation. So you can give it an original image, a target thumbnail resolution, and then it can look at the image and identify the focal point of that image and use that when considering where to cut and where to crop to generate your thumbnails. So here we have an example. We have a man standing on the top of a mountain. He's off to the right-hand side. Without smart crop, in many of the dimensions, the man is incorrectly located. With smart crop on, we can see that the man retains his prominent position regardless of the resolution. We can see that again in another example. Here we have a woman by a fireplace. She's on the left-hand side of the image. And regardless of the resolution of the thumbnail, she is present rather than being, in some cases, truncated when using a non-smart cropping approach. So that's the computer vision API. The computer vision API is a general purpose API for understanding the content of images. If, when running the computer vision API, you detect faces, then the next two APIs are going to help you understand these at a much greater level of detail. Now, we're going to talk about both the face and the emotion API together, because many of the capabilities of the emotion API are now available as part of the face API. So the face API works in a very similar way to the general purpose computer vision API. We can upload a number of different image formats or a URL to a publicly accessible image, and it can recognize and process up to 64 faces in a single image. It's important to recognize, though, that this is designed for front-facing faces. Right now, the API has this limitation. So if the person is obscured or looking particularly in one direction or another, then you may find the results are less reliable. The face API is capable of doing a number of things. The first thing it can do is detect and analyze the face. So it can identify landmarks on the face, that is the outline of your nose, your mouth, your lips, your eyebrows, your eyes, and the like. It can also identify your visual age, your gender, whether you've got hair, what color it might be, whether you're wearing glasses, makeup, and much more. It also provides the ability to find similar faces and group faces together when you're processing images in bulk. And it also provides functionality that is similar to the speaker recognition API. That is, you can identify people and you can also verify the identity of people. And that's very similar to what we saw in the Litweb demo when I took a selfie and it was able to correctly confirm that it was me that was trying to access the system. So let's have a look at this in action. I have a photo here of a man that we're going to run through the Face API and see what kind of information that we can get out. So the first thing that we get back is a face ID, which is a little bit unexpected. But this face ID actually unlocks a number of the other APIs. So for example, I can take this face ID and then pass it to a verification operation. So in many cases, the only reason to post the image up is just to get this ID so I can do other things with it within the Face API. The next thing that I can get back is location data. So this is where the face is, but more importantly, where specific aspects of the face are. So Microsoft used this particular mapping structure. So they give you 4 points that define the eyes, several points to define the eyebrows, and so on. So you can get a really good understanding of the detail of the face, not just its bounding box. The next part that it returns are a number of different attributes, including the person's visual age, their gender, the intensity of their smile, the degree of facial hair, and many more different attributes. In this particular case, it correctly recognizes the person as male and estimates his age to be 41. It gives it a 0.4 to 0.6 rating for facial hair, which means he has some, but perhaps not a full face of hair. The next thing it is able to identify is emotion. So in this case, it's a strong happiness emotion. You'll notice that emotion is one of 8 different distinct emotions, and they give you a probability of each. And then finally, it summarizes his hair, and it is correctly identified that he has a very low probability of being bald, and his hair color is brown. The other major capability within the Face API is its ability to identify and verify the identity of your users. So how do we get started with identity and verification in the Face API? Well, the first thing we need to do is to create a person record within the API. So this is very similar to working with a speaker recognition API. We then add one or more faces to this person and train the API to recognize this person based on those samples. At that point, we're ready to go to the next step, which is recognition. So like with the speaker recognition API, when we want to identify a person, we need to be able to provide it a list of potential people as well as the image, and it will pick the person that it most closely recognizes. The other feature of that API is verification, in which case it operates just like speaker recognition. You pass up the person you believe it to be and the image, and the service can tell you whether it's the same person. So that's the face and emotion capabilities. These are more specific computer vision capabilities. The last computer vision capability that we're going to talk about before we go and have a look at a demo is the custom vision service. And as we talked about at the start, the custom services are the services where you can bring your own data and customize models that Microsoft have already built. The goal of the custom vision team is to allow you to build a custom image classifier in 10 minutes or less. You start by uploading images. For each category that you want to be able to recognize, you need to provide at minimum 30 to 50 images. As you provide more images, the quality of your classifier will increase. Next, you train it. Microsoft provides a number of pre-built models that you can build on top of. You can then expose that model as an endpoint and start making predictions on images that your users upload. It then also provides a number of capabilities to allow you to iterate on that model and improve it over time. This service is still in preview, so there are a couple of gotchas in terms of the terms of service. You need to be aware that there are some conditions in which images can be retained. So if you're classifying business sensitive information, then that's important to recognize. Also, it's really important to get an image data set that is reflective of the images that your users are going to be taking. So if you're expecting your users to use the service in a factory scenario to recognize different machines, then make sure you're actually training it on images from the factory where it's going to be used, with the same lighting conditions and quality of image. It's also important to recognize that this service is a general purpose classifier. It can help us, as it did in the Litware insurance demo, to determine between different types of car. However, it's not suited to subtle object differences. For example, fault detection in a manufacturing scenario. So, how do we work with Custom Vision? Well, we provide it with a whole bunch of images that are tagged in each of the categories that we need to detect. In this case, it's training it against cats and dogs. In our case, it was training it against sedans, SUVs, and sports cars. Once that training operation is done, we get a model that is built on top of a model that Microsoft has already prepared, and then we can submit new data, and the model will be able to correctly recognize which category it falls into. So, with that said, let's go and have a look at all of these different vision capabilities and understand how they came together to create the experience that we were able to build in the Litware insurance demo. Computer vision was a really big part of the Litware insurance demo. We were able to use the computer vision API to detect whether there was a vehicle in the image. We were able to use the face API to detect if the user was present in the image. And we were also able to use the custom vision API to be able to determine what kind of car the user uploaded. So let's start with the computer vision service and see how we can use that to determine whether the image is suitable. So we'll uncomment these couple of lines of code. We're going to do this in the validation logic for one of our models in the form flow. We're going to receive an image URL that we can work with. So let's jump into the computer vision service. Now, we're using the Vision Service Client, which is part of the Computer Vision SDK. So interacting with the API is actually pretty straightforward. So let's uncomment this logic. And you'll see it's literally only two API calls. The first one is simply to download the image. The bot service will provide the image as a link. It's not actually contained in the message we receive, so we're going to have to fetch that first. And then we post it up to the Computer Vision API. One thing to watch out for here is that we only receive back the data that we request. So we have to explicitly say what kind of features that we're interested in. For example, faces, or whether it's adult content, or the type of the image. So in this case, we're interested in tags, categories, and the description. So we consider that there's a car in the image if it's tagged with the term car, or whether it's in the transportation category. We also get a description back, because if we upload the wrong image, we'd like to describe the image back to the user. So with that code ready and a breakpoint in the validation logic, we're going to start up our bot and we're going to submit an image. So let's connect to the emulator endpoint. The bot will welcome us. We'll say, I need car insurance. That way we can skip the carousel, we can skip the prompt because it can recognize the car entity. We select sedan as the type of car. And this is an abridged version of the bot. So we're just gonna be, at this point, asked to upload an image. So we're gonna upload the image of the dog. We're gonna hit the breakpoint once we've submitted that image to the computer vision API, and we can have a look at what we get back. So the API is able to correctly identify that this is not a car. It does not get tagged with the term car, and it does not get tagged with the transportation car category. In addition, it is able to describe that image for us. It describes the image as a dog sitting in the grass. So that's the first step. This allows us to identify any kind of image, whether there's a car in it, so we can decide what to do in the next step. So let's close that and go and have a look at what's required to identify whether the user is present here. So if there's no car in here, we're also going to pass this image to the face API. And we're going to do a verification operation. Because our user is enrolled in Smart Authentication, we have a profile already for them. So we can just take that profile ID and compare it to the image. So let's go and have a look at the face recognition service and what's involved there. So like the computer vision service, the first thing we do is download that image. We could probably make that a little bit cleaner by caching that within our service for the lifetime of the operation. But we actually have to make several different API calls here. The first one, we actually do a detect operation against the face API. And that gives us back an ID that represents that face. And that ID is valid for a short period of time. The next thing we do is that we fetch the person group ID that I belong to. And in our case, there's only one person group, so that's a relatively easy operation. We then pair that with my specific person identifier. So when we call verify, we pass the face ID that we've just recognized, and then we pass my group and my ID. And it can compare me with the face that's been identified and tell us whether they're the same person. Now, the image that we upload actually has two faces in it. Satya Nadella is also in this image. So we have to construct this as a loop. So we have to compare every image of a person in this upload and then identify if any of them match the registered user. So let's go and see this in action. We're going to start up our bot service. We're going to double check that all the code is uncommented and ready to go. Great. I'm going to restart this chat and say, I need car insurance. I'm going to select sedan, and then we're going to upload the image. And in this case, it's the picture of me photoshopped in next to Satya. This image will go to the computer vision API. We will recognize there's no vehicle in it, and then we're going to pass it to the face verification API. So we've already passed it. We've got some face IDs back from the detect operation. We're now going to loop through and call verify against each of them. So the first face fails to verify. So that means it's probably Satya's face that we've just checked. The next face that we're going to do is my face. We'll compare it to my profile. In fact, the API finds that they are identical. Because I'm in that image, we're actually going to change the message, the response of the bot slightly, to reflect on the fact that I'm part of this image. So we'll let that continue. And we can actually see the response of the bot references the fact that I'm in that image. The last part of the vision demo part of the Litware insurance scenario is the custom vision API. Let's go and have a look at what's required to build a custom vision model. So to build a custom vision model, we go to the custom vision portal, which is customvision.ai. And here's the model that's powering the Litware scenario. You can see I've uploaded images of a bunch of different vehicles, and I've tagged them as sedans, sports cars, or SUVs. That's the first step in building your custom vision model. Now, there is an SDK available, so you can actually use that to upload images if you'd rather not upload thousands of images via your web browser. Once you've finished uploading images, we can flip to the performance tab, and we can train a model with this big green button up here. Once the model has been trained, the service will automatically score the performance of the model. And in this case, what it's telling us is that this isn't a particularly good model. And the reason it's not particularly good is that the data set that we've provided it, only 100 images, is too small for the purpose that we've selected. But what's interesting about this is that we can get some high-level metrics, but we can also drill into individual categories of vehicle. So for example, the sedans that we've provided are most likely to be misrecognized. So we probably need to upload more sedans than we do sports cars, because sports cars have a recognition of much higher rate at 80%. Now, the interesting thing about this page also is that you can see all of the model iterations that you've built over time along the left here. So you can actually compare the performance of your model as you evolve it and add additional data. Each model has its own prediction URL, or you can mark one model, the default model, and use that default endpoint. One of the really nice features of the custom vision service is that it will retain images that your users submit to it. That means if I submit a different type of car that the model has never seen before, it will appear here, and I can actually add that image into my data set, which is going to increase the performance of it. The last thing I want to show here is the ability to identify the vehicles that the model has the most difficulty with. So if we switch to iteration history, we can actually see these vehicles highlighted in the user interface for us. That makes it very easy to figure out what kinds of categories require additional data to improve the quality of the model. So, how do we use the model? It's very straightforward. There's an SDK available for it. But in this case, because it's such a simple operation, we're just going to send a message directly to the RESTful endpoint. We grab the image URL, we download the binary, and then we post it up to the endpoint, and we get back a response. The response that we get has a prediction and a probability for every tag that we have in our data set. That means we can compare the relative probabilities, and if we find that they are too close together, decide not to issue a prediction. So let's see this in action. We're going to uncomment the code that invokes this particular service, put a breakpoint in, and start our bot up. So let's start up our bot and run an image of a sports car through so we can see an example of the classification. So we'll return to the emulator. We'll restart this conversation. Specify that we need car insurance. Select that the car type we're wanting to insure is a sedan. And then we're going to upload the image of the sports car. So this will go to the computer vision API. It will correctly identify this as a car. And then we're going to submit it to our custom vision API, which is going to be able to identify that it isn't a sedan. In fact, it's a sports car. So we can have a look at the results that we get back here. We can see we get a prediction for each of the tags. The sedan is 0.000%. The probability of an SUV is 2%. And the probability of a sports car is over 99%. So in this case, we're going to reject it and say that it doesn't look like a sedan. And we'll see that message come back through the bot. Now, let's try uploading the vehicle image that correctly matches our insurance request, the Ford. And as we might expect, it does come back with the top prediction being a sedan at 70%, and we can continue with the insurance flow from here. So that's how we used the various vision capabilities in the cognitive services platform in the Litware demo. Let's get back to the slides. So we just saw how the computer vision API, the face API, and the custom vision API all came together to allow us to understand the content that the user was uploading to our insurance bot. It's now time to look at some of the more specific solutions that are part of the vision offering from Microsoft Cognitive Services. And we're going to start with the Content Moderator service. The Content Moderator service is designed to solve a very specific problem. When your website or your application allows users to upload content that they have themselves have developed and then share that with other users, you need to make sure that that content is appropriate for your audience. Now, this isn't just a matter of identifying adult content. It's also identifying images that potentially aren't family friendly, or images that contain profanity, or text that contains profanity, or even content that includes personally identifiable information like email addresses, which is not suitable for general distribution. One of the most powerful capabilities that Content Moderator has is its ability to combine both automated classification with manual human review. So you can build sophisticated workflows that allow you to involve your review team when appropriate. The service supports text and images, and if you integrate with media services, also video. You can use this service in conjunction with many of the other cognitive services, including text analytics and computer vision. And then you can build more sophisticated workflows based on the outputs of these services. So now let's go and have a look at the content moderator service in a little bit more detail. To start using the content moderator, we just go to the content moderator portal at contentmoderator.cognitive.microsoft.com. And there's nice try functionality that we can simply jump into and see the capabilities of the API in action. Now you can actually download a range of sample images directly from the portal to use in this kind of demo mode. Obviously, this isn't how you would use this API for real. You would want to be able to integrate this into your application and push user-generated content into it. So I'm going to upload a sample image from the sample image pack. This is a woman in a bikini. And we're going to submit that to the API for classification. This is a really good example of the kind of content that content moderator is good at evaluating. This isn't necessarily adult content, but it may not be appropriate for a family audience. So, now that the image has been submitted, we can experiment with the review functionality that's available through the content moderator portal. We can see, as a human reviewer, all of the different options, all of the different pending reviews that need to be made. And here we see the image, and we can see the service has identified this as a racy image. We can override this by unselecting the racy tag, or we could even upgrade it to an adult image if we think it's warranted. Once we're satisfied with the classification, we can submit it, and the review is complete. Now we can trigger this to be published in an appropriate way in our application. So that's a brief sample of the content moderator. How would you integrate this into your application? Well, we have a simple website already up and running to show you how this might work. So in this case, we're going to upload an image through the website. We're going to upload exactly the same image. And we're also, in addition to an image classification job, going to trigger a text classification job as well. And because this is a family video, we're not going to start adding profanity in here, but we're going to enter another type of sensitive information, and that's personally identifiable information. So I'm going to enter my email address. This might not be something that's suitable to publish on the front page of a high traffic website after submitting it through a form. So we're going to submit both the image and the text, and we're going to pass this up to Content Moderator. And this is going to show you the power of its automated moderator APIs. So this is not going to require any human review. So if we have a look at the results here, we get scores for both adult and racy. And in this case, it only passes the bar for racy. We're also going to get the results of the text analysis. It correctly identifies that I've submitted an email address. So that's how we can use Content Moderator in an automated fashion. Now, if we switch back to Visual Studio, we can have a look at the code that sits behind this. It's very straightforward. All that's required is to post the content to either the process image or process text endpoint. And we can retrieve the message and the response, which contains all of the data that we saw on screen. The more powerful or more advanced option is to use semi-automated content moderation. That is, in some situations, we escalate it for human review. So let's do a semi-automated content moderation. We're going to say, no, that's way too expensive, and submit that to our service. Now, you'll see that it has been submitted as a job, but it hasn't been released for publication back to our website yet. We now can go into the Content Moderator portal and go to Pending Reviews. And we can see the message that I've just sent. We then, as the moderator, can classify this as adult or racy if we believe it's warranted, which can determine whether this gets published on our application. Now, if we look at the workflows over here, we can actually see why this particular piece of text was flagged for human review. we've actually connected this service to the text analytics service that we talked about right at the very start of the day. And we've written a rule here that says if the text sentiment is less than 0.4, that is a generally negative sentiment, we want to flag this for manual human review. So let's go back to that review and we're going to complete the review. We don't think this is unsuitable, we're just going to leave that untagged. That's going to submit it back to the service and update the status of that job. We can then return to our application and poll the API to see what the results were. And we can see that it has been completed by a human reviewer and that it has been tagged as neither adult nor racy, so it can be published into our website. So that's the power of the Content Moderator API. It allows you to both, in an automated or semi-automated fashion, make sure that the content that users upload to your site is suitable. The last service that we're going to talk about in the vision category for Microsoft's Cognitive Services is the Video Indexer API. And this service actually relies on a number of the services that we've already talked about, including the Computer Vision API, the Face API, and the Speech Recognition API. This service allows us to understand what's going on in our videos. It understands who's speaking, what they're talking about, and the key topics as well. This effectively redefines how we do search and video and allows us to better expose this content in our organizations to our users. It opens up a couple of other interesting options. It allows us to better monetize our content because we can more intelligently place ads because we know what's going on in the video. We can also open up new avenues for user engagement based on the same principles. So how do we work with this API? Well, first, we just have to upload our video content and the service will process it asynchronously and start to build an understanding of what's happening inside the content. It will generate automatic audio transcriptions that we can then edit if required, and it can also automatically translate these into different languages. It will identify the speakers in the video. We can name them and add data about them, and then allow users to jump just to when these particular people are presenting. And then finally, it can do a range of different types of content analysis. It can pull out keywords. It can recognize text on screen or in a PowerPoint presentation, and it can even figure out where the keyframes within a video are. Let's have a look at how we work with the Video Indexer in a little bit more detail. The final technology we're about to look at is Video Indexer. And this technology allows us to use a number of the computer vision capabilities, but over video content. So here I am at the Video Indexer portal. I've uploaded this video from Channel 9 of an Azure Friday session with Scott Hanselman. The video is processed asynchronously. And then after a few moments, we start to be able to visualize all of the insights that it's been able to gain. So on the left here, we have a whole bunch of insight. First, it is able to identify that there are two distinct speakers in this video, and it's able to identify when each of the speakers is most active. Now, it's able to recognize Scott Hanselman, but unfortunately, his co-presenter is not recognized. But we can edit any of this metadata and update the content. Next, it flags all of the keywords that it's identified from the discussion. So this makes it really easy to jump ahead to specific parts of the discussion. So for example, if we were interested in the discussion about Azure subscriptions, we can simply tap there and it will jump to the next occurrence.
That's kind of doing a security scenario on your Azure subscription. Cool. So I have this.
So there we go. They're now talking about Azure subscriptions. So that's the ability to jump to certain keywords in the video. We also have the ability to jump to certain annotations in the video, certain things that the API is able to recognize. For example, we can jump to the first screenshot in the video. Here's a screenshot of a presentation. It's able to recognize that there's no longer two presenters simply sitting in front of a screen, but we've moved to a computer-generated image. We can also see down the bottom here the full sentiment analysis for the video. We see that things got a little bit negative towards the end there, but they've generally been very positive. The other capability that we can have a look at is closed captioning. So if we enable English closed captions, we can get an immediate overlay of the subtitles. Now, we can also see this information in the transcript tab. So there is an automatically generated transcript that's available in not only English, but any language that's supported by the video indexer. Now we can edit this too. Computer translation is not perfect, but it is a great start to providing subtitles on all of your video content. Now, one of the interesting capabilities here is that it's not simply transcribing what it hears from the speakers, but it is also transcribing what it is seeing on screen. Now, this is a particularly low resolution video, but you'll see the key parts of this image are actually going to be transcribed into the transcript. This text recognized on screen can then also be translated through the translation mechanism. So that's the end user interactive experience through the Video Indexer Preview Portal. That makes for a great demo, but if we were going to integrate this into our own applications, we'd need to be able to do so with our own custom UI and our own custom experiences. Fortunately, there's a rich set of APIs that allow us to recreate this exact experience. One thing to keep an eye out though for is that the API portal is completely separate from the primary Video Indexer portal. Make sure that you sign in with the same login into both if you want to share content between them. So when you sign into the API portal, which is actually called Video Breakdown, which was an earlier name, you'll see all the different operations that you can execute against Video Indexer. It also provides you with an interactive portal. So you can actually specify the parameters and then execute the request in the browser and see the results. So in this case, I'm going to make a call to the get breakdown method. And here we're actually going to be able to see all of the different information that builds the UI that we saw just a few moments ago. We can see all the information about the video. We can see the faces in the video and all of the necessary content required to build a similar experience. If we're happy with the existing API, we can actually call various API endpoints here to get embedded widget code that can actually recreate those experiences, but hosted within our environments. So only a few short years ago, video was very difficult to index. Now with the Video Indexer and its rich API surface, we can suddenly make a lot more sense of our video content. Let's get back to the slides. So, which of these technologies should you use and when? Well, the starting point is the Computer Vision API. It's a general purpose API. It'll help you identify whether you need to use other APIs. For example, it can identify faces and it can flag adult content. The next set of APIs to use would be the face and emotion APIs, because these are more specific APIs and useful if you can identify faces in your images. Another API to consider using next would be the Video Indexer API, if you have video content to examine and understand. The most advanced APIs in this particular family are the Custom Vision APIs and the Content Moderator APIs. Now, the Custom Vision API in and of itself is not actually particularly complicated. Remember, the team have a goal of allowing you to build your own image classifier within 10 minutes. However, you do need a reasonable sized data set of the kinds of images that your users are going to submit before you can be generating models that are accurate. The other advanced service is the Content Moderator service. Remember, this is a solution for a very specific problem. And as a result, you'll need to consider this as part of a broader architecture and how it fits in to your existing web platform. This brings us to the end of our session on computer vision and the capabilities that Microsoft's platform provides. We set out to answer a few questions, including how do we understand the images that our users upload? And the answer to that question is the Computer Vision API, our general purpose image API. The next feature that we were looking to solve was how did we identify which vehicles belong to which category? How did we distinguish between SUVs, sedans, and sports cars? And for that, we had to build our own image classifier and could do that using the Custom Vision service. And then finally, we were able to recognize our users both in images and also in selfies for the purposes of authentication. And for that, we used the Face API. I hope you'll join us for the next session in the AI Developer Bootcamp, where we look at Microsoft's cognitive toolkit and get a deeper understanding of neural networks. Thank you.